John 18, verses 28 through 32. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to him, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death that he would die." Today's message is titled, Defiled. In our text today, we have Jesus being led from Caiaphas, the high priest, to the Praetorium, or Hall of Judgment. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium. Who would not go into the Praetorium? Those that eat the Passover. In Numbers 9, verses 1 and 2, it tells us specifically. Tells us, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at the appointed time." Why would they not go into the Praetorium? Lest they be defiled. Jewish oral law gives evidence that a Jew who entered the dwelling places of Gentiles became ceremonially unclean. Their remaining outside avoided that pollution. These religious people are concerned with the outward observance of religion, not with an inner relationship with God. They're concerned with the outward. Christ has spoken of people like this in Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and unrighteousness. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Are you a whitewashed tomb? Do you outwardly appear beautiful? But within, notice in Matthew, within where? Within your heart. These types of people, full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness, not only outwardly appear beautiful, it says in our text, in Matthew, in verse 27, they appear beautiful outwardly, but verse 28 says they outwardly appear righteous. Not only are they beautiful outside, but they appear righteous outside. But notice once again, within, it says that they are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They fill churches everywhere throughout the land. Today, churches are filled throughout the land with hypocrites. A hypocrite is one who acts a false part. She's an actor. She's an actor. Puts a face on. Puts a mask on. And then plays the part. Makes a false profession. Not necessarily a possession of eternal life. They wear the mask. The Lord tells us they're cheats. They're deceivers. They are imposters. They are characters that assume a role. A hypocrite plays a role. These deceivers, they seek to give false impressions of any matter where they have an end to gain. They have an end to gain. Hypocrites. Either a title, a power, money. The hypocrite seeks not merely to cover his sins, but to gain credit as being virtuous. They come across as very virtuous, very holier than thou, very righteous. They are associated with ritualism, formalism, Phariseeism. Their concern is with the outward. Their concern is with the eating of the Passover, or in our text here, in this setting here, they're concerned with eating the Lord's Supper. They're concerned with the attending of church. I go to church every Sunday. They're concerned with the praying in public. They pray in public. They like being seen amongst the Christians. They use the lingo. They know all the lingo. They know all the slang. They speak Christianese. They have the language down. But Christ tells us inwardly what their true condition is. The people in our text, in John, they were worried about being defiled. They did not want to be sullied. They didn't want to be tainted. They didn't want to be contaminated. Contaminated. That was their concern. They thought by going somewhere or some place that would defile them, that it would contaminate them. But they failed to realize that their hearts were contaminated and defiled. That's where the defilement was. The defilement wasn't in the praetorium. It was in their heart. If you are walking with God, you can go wherever the Lord would lead you. A perfect example of this is Christ at a feast. Look at Mark 2. You have Christ running in to these hypocrites. Mark 2, 13 through 17. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and he followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See what verse 15 says? Tax collectors and sinners, the wicked and vile, also sat together with Christ. Where that says sat together, it means reclining, like at the Passover, where John was reclining on Jesus Christ. Here's the sinners, the tax collectors, then real wicked people reclining with Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 15 in Mark there. Sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. Many what? Many religious people? Or many wicked people? It was many wicked there with him. And it was many. And they followed him. And the religious people were sitting outside. Verse 16. The religious people are once again concerned about outward defilement. They don't care about the sinner's soul. They don't care about the sinner's soul. They are concerned about what they look like. Them and all their cohorts in crime. They don't care about the sinner's soul. They're worried about appearance. They are all looking good but not doing good. Am I talking about you today? Are you all concerned about your outward appearance? And inside you're full of wickedness and uncleanness? And you look at those people, that's them? That's not us? That's not me? Where does the defilement occur? Look at Mark 7. They're worried about being defiled, the Pharisees. Mark 7. Verse 15. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. It's not what's going in the man that's defiling him. It's what's coming out of your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart. Out of your mouth flow the issues of life, the things that you really believe. Out of your mouth. It's not what goes in. Look at verses 18 through 23 of Mark 7. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man or a woman, that defiles. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, defile a man." Basically, the church would say today, well, you can't commit adultery or fornicate. But you sure enough can have evil thoughts. You can murder people in your heart. You can rob from God. You can be covetous. You can be wicked. You can be deceitful. You can have an evil eye. You can be a blasphemer. You can be prideful. And you can be foolish. But that adultery and fornication, we can see that. So. But all those other things, they're all right in the church today. The defilement is not from going into the praetoriums of life, whatever those praetoriums are in your life. But the defilement comes right out of the heart of people sitting in the church. Sitting in your home, are you a hypocrite? Bring your wife here, let me talk to her. Bring your husband here, let me talk. Bring your kids here. We'll find out if you're a hypocrite real fast. What comes out of a man is expressed both in what he says. See, we've glorified the heart today as far as don't judge nobody's heart. But Christ says you'll know the tree by its fruit, by what comes out of the man. What he says and what he does. That's where the defilement comes, right out of what you're saying. Look at the sins of verse 21 to 23 of Mark 7. All proceeding out of the heart, even the fornication and adultery begins in the heart, and it's manifested in the flesh. The hypocrite cares not about these sins. Thomas Brooks does a contrast on this, and it's beautiful. I'm going to read you this contrast from Thomas Brooks between a hypocrite and what a born-again Christian is. He says, the hypocrite only care is to keep his outward life from defilement. But the sincere Christian's care is mainly to keep his heart from defilement. For he very well knows that if he can but keep his heart clean, he shall with more ease keep his life clean. If the fountain is kept pure, the streams will run pure. The heart is the spring of all the actions, and therefore every action is as the spring is from whence it flows. If the spring is good, the action is good which flows from it. If the spring is evil, the action is evil which flows from it. Hypocrites are all for the outside. They wash the platters and the cups. Imagine you got a cup looking good on the outside and all the funk is inside. They wash the platters and the cups. They beautify the tomb. It's like an adulteress whose care it is to paint a fair face upon a foul heart. She's as wicked as anything. She's a whore from day one, and she paints her face up and puts the jewelry on and is looking fine. That's what a Pharisee does. They paint up the outside, put the nice stuff on, the nice gear, and they're molesting little boys. But they look good on the outside. That's a hypocrite. But a sincere Christian, though he has a great concern, a sincere Christian has a great concern for the outward, the well-ordering of his outward life. Yet, it is not his main business. His work is about the heart. A true Christian's work is about the heart. Oh, that this ignorant heart were but more enlightened. That's what the Christian should say. Oh, that this proud heart were but more humble. Oh, that this profane heart were but more holy. Oh, that this earthly heart were but more heavenly. Oh, that this believing heart were but more believing. Oh, that this passionate heart were but more meek. Oh, that this carnal heart were but more spiritual. Oh, that this vain heart were but more serious. Oh, that this dull heart were but more quickened. Oh, that this dead heart were but more enlivened. Oh, that this lukewarm heart were but more zealous for God and Christ and the gospel and the great concerns of eternity. That is what a born-again Christian's life is about. Not, I go to church, I wear these clothes, I don't go here, I don't do this, I don't... What do you do? You don't do all of this, but what do you do? Are you more like the men in our text that did not go in lest they be defiled? Are you like the Pharisees that criticized Christ for eating and drinking with sinners? Don't be around sinners. God forbid you may lead somebody to Christ. Let's get all together, a bunch of Christians, and stay together. How do you look before people? How do you play your religious games? You think that you're deceiving Jesus Christ. He knows all about your game. You play a religious game. If the truth be told about you, would it not be true that you are just playing a game? If the truth be told about you, is it not that you are just playing a game like the men in our text? Here they are saying that they do not want to be defiled. Go back to John 18. They should forget what the text is. Let me remind you of the text. John 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. See? Got to do that wickedness early in the morning when nobody can see you. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Here they are saying they don't want to be defiled, so they will not go into the Praetorium in order that they may partake of the Passover. They don't want to be defiled as they're bringing the Passover lamb to be judged, to be brutalized, and to be murdered. That's a pretty religious person right there. Hey, I got to partake of the Lord's Supper today. I fornicated all last night in a hotel somewhere, but I celebrated the Lord's Supper on Sunday. You're a hypocrite. You got a mask on. Jesus Christ knows all about your mask, and you will be judged. Here they are, going to celebrate the Passover. I got to turn in Jesus Christ to be judged, brutalized, and murdered. And where's their concern? Turn to Exodus 23. This was their concern. They were about the outward. They didn't care nothing about the inward. Exodus 23. Like most people here, most people have been baptized, been confirmed, had communion, had this, wear a scapula, say a rosary, do all kind of religious things. And all they do is damn you even more. All they do is damn your soul even more. Exodus 23:15. Is this the way you are? You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. Verse 17. 3 times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God. All they was doing was fulfilling the ceremonial law of God. That was their only concern. Like most people come to church, I got to go to church. They're not here to grow. They're not here to learn. They're not here to pour out their life. You're here to put in. The Catholics do it for 45 minutes, you do it for an hour and 45 minutes. Some use 2 hours and 45 minutes. Exodus 23:17 demands, commands that the Jews celebrate the Passover. Here these men are thinking they are keeping the law by eating the Passover, and at the same time they're breaking the law. People partake in the Lord's Supper because the Lord commands you to do the remembrance of it, but at the same time you walk out the door and you go right into your wicked lifestyle. You're doing exactly what the Jews in the text did. The Jews charged him. Let me show you how they were breaking the law. All right? We got to go celebrate the Passover, so I'm going to keep the law. Right? At the same time, they're breaking the law. The Jews charged Jesus Christ with what? Blasphemy. Claiming to be the Son of God. Turn to Matthew 26. Show you how whack people are that think they're keeping the law. Turn to Matthew 26, 59 to 67. Let's just look at 59, 60, and 67. So we don't have to read the whole 8 verses. 59. Here was the people. They're concerned about celebrating the Passover, right? All right, here's the same people. 59. The chief priests, the elders, all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. That's really good law keeping right there. Seeking false testimony to put Christ to death. Look at verse 60. But found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. They found none, but at last two false witnesses came forward. False testimony, false witnesses. Hey, but I'm going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. Look at verse 67. Now they're really getting nice. Then they spat in his face, beat him, and others struck him with the palms of his hand. Beautiful. Beautiful. Fine religious people. Absolutely beautiful. Spat in his face, beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands before they're going to celebrate the Passover. Absolutely beautiful. If you were these people, I would tell you to repent. You had better repent quickly. And then what did they do? They lied to Pilate. Look at Luke 23. So here they are, want to say, okay, I'm keeping the law, I'm keeping the Passover. At the same time, spitting in his face, beating him, striking him, getting people to bear false testimony and false witness. But I'm celebrating the Passover. Luke 23. And then to make matters even worse, sin becoming more sinful. 23, 1 and 2. Then the whole multitude of them. Are you one of the them? Are you part of that whole multitude of them? Arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding him to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So now they're like their father. They're just like their daddy, the father of lies. They accused him of blaspheming. He was charged as a blasphemer. Now they come before Pilate. Oh, he's a liar. Perverting the nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus Christ said just the opposite. Give unto Caesar, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. See? So not only false witness, false testimony, spitting in his face, striking him, beating him, and lying on top of it. But I am keeping the law. Lying, false charges, false witnesses, planning his death, and yet thinking they're right with God. They actually believe they're right with God. They are celebrating the Passover. How deceitful religion can be, are you deceived? Religion is the opiate of the nations. It will absolutely make you high. You will be whacked on religion. How deceitful religion is. Most people who think they are keeping the law actually are condemned by the law. They think they're keeping the law as did the people in our text. And they were guilty of the very sins that Jesus says comes from the heart. Turn back to Mark 7. Everything these people are guilty of is right here in our text. When you go back to Mark 7. Everything that they did is right there where Christ talked about from within, out of the heart. The evil thoughts, the murders, the thefts, the covetousness, the blasphemy, the pride, the foolishness, that's what came out of their heart. Exactly what Jesus Christ said is in the heart of the religious person. Are you dependent on your law keeping? Are you trusting, quote unquote, in your good heart from where all this evil is coming? You hear people all the time, good heart. Are you counting on your attending church, reading your Bible, saying your prayers, participating in the Lord's Supper? Are you like the man in our text? Are you guilty as charged, like the men in our text? Are you all concerned about, I don't go into that praetorium. See? I don't go into that bar that's down at the bottom of the stairs. See? I walk right past all them wicked people. Won't even look. Won't even look that way. I don't do that. See? I don't go here. I don't do that. We're in our nice little cubicle here. Christ was at the feast with the pagans, with the sinners, not acting like them, being Christ-like in the midst of them. Who are you going to lead to the Lord if you're not with sinners? We have an example of religious people in Romans 2. Romans 2 is all about religious people. Turn over to Romans 2. Pilate tells the men in our text, you judge them according to your law. And we have an example of Jews judging Jews in Romans 2. Pilate tells the Jews in our text, you judge them according to your law. Pilate was more righteous than they were. You judge them according to your law. Romans 2 is all about Paul shooting down the religious Jew and the religious Gentile. That's what Romans 2 is all about. Paul is telling the people in Romans 1 that you're guilty of these same sins. Romans 1, 28 through 32 is the same kind of sins that I showed you in Mark. Paul tells us, you judge, yet you do the same things. Look at Romans 2, verse 1. We're going to be in Romans 2 for a few minutes. Therefore, you are unexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, you practice the same thing. You that say that one's a murderer, yet have unforgiveness in your heart, you're as guilty as them. You that don't commit fornication, but you just lust people in your heart, Christ said it's the same as you did. You're not looking like the people out there, but it's in your heart. You're lusting the person next to you, in the back, the person in the hallway, the person coming in. But I'm not like that. Verse 2. Of Romans. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think you shall escape judgment? You who practice these things? But because you go to church and you celebrate the Lord's Supper and read your Bible and say your prayers? Do you think you shall escape judgment? Verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking. See? Religious people, they're self-seeking. And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Indignation and wrath. Self-seeking. See? What's in it for me? Am I getting a nice cushy job out of this? See? Am I going to be awarded some kind of power? See? Am I going to have the authority over people? They obey unrighteousness. Notice. They obey it. Notice. That's their lifestyle. We all sin. And we all sin every day. But it's one thing to repent of your sin every day and to walk in it continually as a lifestyle with unrepentance. Verse 16, for the hypocrite. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God will judge your dirty little secrets. And he shall expose your motives behind what you do. He knows the motive behind everything you do. He knows all about your dirty little secrets. And yet you come across as fine religionist, a fine formalist, a fine Pharisee. And Christ says, I know all about your heart. Verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and you make your boast in God. You can call yourself a Jew, be it a physical Jew or a spiritual Jew. Verses 18 to 21. You know his will. You are confident having the form. You have the form. See verses 18 through 21. And know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. Having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. See, you have a form about you. Like I said, you speak Christianese. You know all the lingo. You go to all the right places at the right time. But your heart is far removed from the God of glory. Verse 21. You therefore teach another. Do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you not steal? You who teach others, how about teaching yourself? What about stealing? Do you rob God of his glory? Do you rob people of their honor? Do you rob people of their time? Christ knows your heart. He sees past the mask. Verse 23. You who make your boast in the Lord, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? You're boasting in the Lord that you're a law keeper and you're a law breaker. And verse 24. God's name is blasphemed among your neighbors, amongst your family, and amongst your co-workers. You strut around, oh, I am a born-again Christian. I know Jesus Christ. And your name of Jesus Christ is blasphemed amongst your neighbors because they see you as you are. Amongst your family, they live with you day in and day out. They know all about what you're saying, but your life doesn't line up. The fruit of the Spirit is not in your life. There's not love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. Oh, I'm a Christian. And we have the love and the peace and the joy and the goodness and the kindness and the gentleness. You're a hypocrite, not a Christian. Verse 25 of Romans 2. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, going to church, prayers, all of those are fine if you're a law keeper. But if you're a law breaker, they're worthless. Matter of fact, they even testify against you because you should know better. You do know better, you hear it. Verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2. Are you a Jew inwardly? Look at 28 and 29, Romans 2. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. A Jew means a God praiser. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. See? That's what born-again Christians are about. It's of the heart. It's inward. And the praise comes from God. It doesn't come from man. Formalism, ritualism, Phariseeism, religionist people, they get their praise from each other. Oh, you look good, brother. You're looking good. Hallelujah. You're most holy, right reverend. See? Give each other titles. Lift them up high and everything. The men of God in the Bible are scum in the eyes of people. Read Hebrews 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11. Torn asunder, ripped apart by horses, beat upon, spit upon. People that are born again, that's the way people treat you. Religious people, everybody loves them. Bring them up to the front seats. They love their applause. They love the glory. They're into the glory. Is your ambition to obey the law of God? Are you walking in the Spirit? Salvation is a work of God's Spirit in the heart, not mere external efforts to conform to His law. That's not Christianity. That's a religious hypocrite. All the external efforts. If you have depended on your law keeping as opposed to Christ keeping the law, you can't keep the law. The Bible says if you broke the law, then one point you're guilty of breaking the whole law. One point, one time. Plus you're condemned in Adam. If you have depended on your law keeping as opposed to Christ keeping of the law. If you have trusted in your works. If you are like the men in our text who do not go here and there if they think they may become defiled. You who think you are a law keeper, know today that you are a devious, calculated law breaker. You can't get up on a Sunday morning and you put your mask on, knowing full well what you're doing. Devious, calculated law breaking. No matter how hard you try to keep that sewer plate down, to keep it down on the sludge and the sin of your soul, God sees and knows what's there. And give it a little time, and the sewer plate comes up, and the sludge comes pouring right on out. If this be your condition today, I would direct you back to our text. Let's go back to John 18. John 18, verse 32. that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus had said that he would die, how? By being lifted up. Let's look at three cross references. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. 8:28. Show you how all prophecies are fulfilled to the minutest detail. 8:28 of John. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. You see? When you lift up the Son of Man. Look at John 12:32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Verse 33. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. It was Christ prophesying over himself. If the Jews had executed him, they would have been throwing him down. They would not have been lifting him up. The Jew stoned you to death. So if the Jew had killed Christ, they would have stoned him. But the Romans had to kill him in order to fulfill prophecy. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. God providentially controlled all the political procedures. Every little detail. Providentially controlled all the political procedures to assure that when the sentence was finally passed, that he would be crucified by the Romans. And not stoned by the Jews. All of those texts, if I be lifted up, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. You see how God is in control of everything. That is a sovereign God. That is an almighty God. See, that's an omnipotent God. See, this is your God. It's not the God, as I heard this morning a preacher say, God, he wants his desires fulfilled. God don't need his desires fulfilled. He accomplishes everything he has set his hand to. He would be crucified by the Romans, not stoned by the Jews. Unconverted here today. You, hypocrite, spoken to today. Unconverted, look to the one who was lifted up. Christ said, if I be lifted up, that I would draw all men unto myself. Paul was a hypocrite at one time. Paul was a hypocrite at one time. Christ saved him. He was a zealous guy. Thought he was doing the Lord's work out there killing Christians. Fine hypocrite. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men to myself. Unconverted one. Hypocrite today. Look to that one. Look to Christ for salvation. He has been lifted up. Lawbreaker. Look to the one who kept the law perfectly. You cannot keep the law perfectly. You need to look to the one that keeps the law perfectly. And you, believer, you who are hurting, you who are doubting, you who have been crushed like an olive, like a grape, know that God is in control of all your circumstances. He's in control even to the point of arranging the type of execution that Christ would face. Do you know that the reason why Christ had to be executed the way he was to fulfill the law? Turn to Deuteronomy 21. This is why you can never, ever be saved by your works. And that's religion's greatest tool. The religion's greatest tool is you're a law keeper. You're pretty good. You can keep the law of God. No, you can't. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. 22 and 23. Chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on that tree. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Joseph came for the body, didn't he? His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him in that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Jesus Christ became the curse for you. That's why you can never save yourself. He had to become the curse for you. You're not qualified to be the curse. Only he could be the curse. And I'll show you where Paul says that to be true in Galatians 3. We will end with that. Turn to Galatians 3. This is who you are to look to. Unconverted, hypocrite, lawbreaker. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Has. Past tense. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written. Where is it written? Well, I just showed you in Deuteronomy. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon you Gentiles here in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through him. Jesus Christ saves, and Christ alone. Jesus Christ is not only the lawgiver, but he is also our law keeper. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a great plan of salvation, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to become that curse on a tree, dear Lord. Forgive us, dear Heavenly Father, for being hypocrites, dear Lord. Forgive us, dear Heavenly Father, of all of our sins. Thank you that Christ was accursed for us, that you hung him on a tree, dear Lord, that you providentially arranged every detail for that to be accomplished. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have also accomplished for us everything that you have for us in our lives, dear Lord. That it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is a free gift of God, lest any man should boast, that we are his workmanship, prepared beforehand for good works. And dear Lord, we would pray that you would cause us to walk in those good works that you have prepared beforehand for us, dear Lord. I would lift up now, Lord, to you the hypocrite that may be listening today, that you will convict such a one of their hypocrisy, Lord. That you would convict such a one, that you know their heart. That you would convict such a one, that the wages of sin is death. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would strip away the phoniness of people, dear Lord. That you would show people, dear Heavenly Father, if they're an unbeliever and damned, or if they are a believer and a hypocrite. That you would show them, dear Lord. That you would convict them, dear Heavenly Father, today. That you know their heart. That you know their intentions. That you know what their motives are, dear Lord. And I pray that you would drive them to Calvary. That you would drive them to the one that has been lifted up. That they would know that they need not be hypocrites. That in front of Christ, we are all hypocrites. We all wear our mask at different times. And forgive us, Lord, for not being real with you. Forgive us for not being real with our brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Lord. Forgive us for not being real with our family members, Lord, our neighbors, our co-workers, Lord. Forgive us, dear Lord, for your name being blasphemed because of our lives, Lord. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict today, Lord, and that he would also comfort those that have trusted in Christ, those that have brought the hypocrisy to Calvary. And dear Lord, I would lift up that hurting brother and sister today, that they would know that you are in control of everything. And that no matter how bad any situation looks, that they would know that you are arranging all things for your purposes, Lord. And we would thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to be lifted up, Lord. For him becoming a curse for us. And we thank you, dear Lord, that we Gentiles, who were excluded from the covenant of Israel, to the promises given to Israel, dear Lord, that you brought us in. We thank you, dear Lord. And we would pray that we would be a witness to the Jew. And I would lastly lift up the nation of Israel today, that it would please you to have mercy upon many today, dear Lord. That the Holy Spirit would move upon a remnant, dear Lord. That you would save today, even as we pray. And we would ask you these things in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen.